Father, only you can work and do the things that you have in all of our hearts, and only you can so faithfully call out a brother from darkness and bring him into our midst and give him gifts and fill him with your love and peace and fill him with your wisdom and lay the things on his heart that you have, and we're so thankful. So we just lift him before your throne, and that we'll be ever so thankful for how you lead him just now by your Spirit and the things that you have laid on his heart and the things that he will share with us. We'll be ever so grateful for. So thank you, Lord. We just we thank you in advance for answering our prayer. And we thank you for our dear brother. And we just commit him into your hands. And we thank you for speaking through him, Lord. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Listen to our brother Dale. Just got a scab ripped off. And I feel like crying. Same time, I'm encouraged. I think I found some answers. Dale was sharing about how it was with his dad. I never had too much of a problem having to do with dad because he wasn't around. 1938, I was born, and 40, the Second World War was obviously coming, and my dad joined the Army. That was it, I didn't see him. He came back, I'm assuming, at 45 or 46, I would have been 6, maybe 7 years old. He stayed with us, meaning mom and myself. I'm an only child. And he stayed with us probably 5 months, maybe 6 months. He told mom he wanted a divorce. He'd fallen in love with a French lady over in France during the war. And he left. And excuse me. When I was 16, he died. And I've seen him maybe 10 times. And it was, excuse me, please. He would come with a car, drive up with his car, and I would go out and get in his car. And he'd drive a few miles and park and talk to me. But the talk was never anything wasn't cursing and all that. It was just passing information to me. And just the bad part is I actually began to hate it. And I thought all that was gone because I had come to terms quite a while ago. Long, I don't even know how many years. I said, I just can't go on hating. And as Dale was preaching, I don't know. It just kind of ripped the scab off. I want you to feel sorry for me. I'll tell you though. Back then, divorce was something that was just, that didn't happen. That was really a nasty thing. And I was the only one that I know of that was, dad was divorced from their mom. And it just all came back. Some people were nice to me, you know, like was in the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and all that kind of thing. And of course, they would have camping days where dads and their sons would go camping. And they would take me along and I'd be with somebody else's dad and then somebody else's dad. And I'm sorry for the disruption, but I'm glad it happened, I think, because I think I have something to look at. I have an answer. Thank you for your patience. Tender right now. Just share some we're talking about the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. I really don't know the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Christ. If you turn with me to Matthew 8, I'm sorry. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm just going to be reading a lot here. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. You see, we can do, which we've heard already, but we can do good things. Things that look very good. But God isn't looking just at what you're holding in your hand or what you're doing or what you're saying. He looks at the motivating force you're being moved by. And if you do your alms to be seen before men, to be seen of them, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven, which is serious enough. But the problem is, if we continue on that kind of thing, it's not just like a one-time thing. If that's our motivation for doing good, we're doing evil. We're exercising selfishness. we're exercising pride. So we can have a good report of the brotherhood, but if the motive's in question, the whole thing's in question, isn't it? Now that's just one thing, alms. It could be any number of things. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Well, can you picture them going out and sounding a horn so the poor people would come? Do you think it was because the poor people would come, or do you think it was sounding a trumpet so people would look and see what's he going to do? Well, he's going to give money away. So, what would you think of somebody like that? You just look at the young man here, he's just going like this. That's exactly right. You look at that and you say, you see right through it. And that's us. Can you imagine what God can do? Because he doesn't have to look at the expression on your face. He knows right away what we're doing. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. That's what they want. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But that's all. They have their reward. They got what they wanted. But it wasn't pleasing to God. They have had their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That's just one thought there. We don't call it alms anymore, but that kind of thing, it wouldn't just be money. It could be anything. When we do something, we make sure that people see it or they certainly know about it. And if we want to get credit, we get credit. Very good. But that's all. That's all. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, what do you think they say? Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. That's what they wanted. They wanted to get noticed, and they got noticed. But that's all. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's where we want to be, isn't it? But I appreciate public prayer. I like to get with one of the brethren and pray, and we can pray for each other. But guard our motives. Make sure what we're doing is for the honor of God and for the blessing of the person we're talking about or praying for. Otherwise, I imagine it's going to say you have your reward. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. He's giving us some, as a, in the kingdom of God. But when you pray, you don't use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And there was an improvement some people had. You've heard of prayer wheels? They would write the prayers and put them on a little spindle. And every revolution, of course, that prayer was supposed to be not said, but they fooled themselves or fooled other people that when they make one turn, that's a prayer. You know, you want to crank up some hand. Just praying and praying and praying. Isn't that foolish? And you think God in heaven is looking down at that and saying, oh, look at that guy. He's just praying his heart out. He's not. He's just getting, I don't know if he fools himself or what. But it certainly wouldn't be something that would be pleasing in the kingdom of God. For they think they shall be heard by their much speaking. There again, the motive for our prayers and vain repetitions. Does anybody have any idea what vain repetitions would be? I really don't have a one. Can you think of a vain repetition? What would it be? Something we just... Somebody said... Hail Mary. Hail Mary. I've heard of that. Pardon me? Very good. Yeah, but it sounds, big words in it, and it's kind of catchy, so we'll use it. We'll keep using it, and no real meaning to us. Vain repetitions. What? Thank you. Yeah. Well, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. You pray with me? Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trusts. We forgive our debtors. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. That's not vain repetition. Not if you stop and think. Thy kingdom come. Isn't that something? I don't really know what the meaning of that is. Does that mean that he's praying that the Lord will return? Or he's saying, work in the hearts of your people. Work in the hearts of your people that the kingdom can come. That we can enter into the kingdom. That we can have our Lord and be under him. And give all praise and glory to him. That our kingdom would come, that it would have its effect in the church, in my life, in your life, that the kingdom would come. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There was a little phrase in there that could give us a little problem as being in the kingdom of God. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a tricky little phrase there, isn't it? And Father, forgive me the way I forgive others. Might not get much forgiveness if we're not careful, right? But that's part of the kingdom. The kingdom is forgiving. And Christ has forgiven me very much. But yet, sometimes forgiveness does not flow real easy when you're offended. But we need to go back and look at the Lord's Prayer and say that's not pleasing in his sight. I don't remember whether I told you in the beginning that I got to the place where I had a hatred for Dad. He died then when I was about 16. And it didn't bother me a bit. later on. I don't remember when it was. It's probably after I was converted. I made an attempt anyway at saying, you know, I really don't know Dad's story except what I told you. I don't know what he was up against, what temptations he had. And I didn't actively in my heart hate him. But while the brother was preaching, it just when he was telling his experience, it was just like he was telling Joe's. I can't explain it to you, but so many things came back up. Thankfully, the hatred, but I just feeling sorry for myself and remembering the things I couldn't do. And I just can't explain it to you. Couldn't talk. Still having a little hard time right now. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's a pretty encouraging verse, isn't it? If we forgive others, our heavenly Father will forgive us. That's not just being quiet and not saying things or talking behind our back. That's down in here. Did we just say, it's gone. It happened. We'll do the best we can with it. If I can help the person, I'm going to help them. That's a reach sometimes. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. But you know what the word but means, don't you? If I would say, I really had a real windfall last week, I have a lot of money right now, and I'd like to take you all out to a steak supper right after this. And then I would say, but. You know, you automatically know that I don't know what the excuse is, but we're not going to get any steak. Yeah. Yep. But here's the sober part of that. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty serious. That's a pretty good reason to watch how we let our feelings go. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When you want, if you want men's attention and admiration, you can probably get it by making it obvious that you're doing good deeds, and they are good deeds. And you do get the reward. You get just what you wanted. But that's empty. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. These are some of the things that are in the kingdom of God. God's telling us, when you do this, and this is your motivation, this is what happens. But when you do it out of a pure heart so the other person would be benefited. God smiles. One of the brothers in the congregation, I'm not going to embarrass him by using his name, but we were getting a lot of moisture in our basement because the grade had settled back toward the house. I guess they had done some digging or something, I don't know, but anyways. He comes over with a front end loader on a trailer and starts getting dirt and fixing it. Just out of the goodness of his heart. He didn't advertise it. And I hope God blesses him for doing that. But it's hard sometimes if you do something that you consider really a good deed to somebody. It's hard not to tell people about it, isn't it? So we get credit. But that's all we're going to get. He doesn't say he's going to throw you out of the kingdom. He doesn't say that he's going to punish you in any way. He just says, you got your reward. That's it. Somebody did get helped. And you have your reward. And God, I think God judges primarily by our motivation in doing something. You could be helping somebody and hurt them. You know, trying to help them and they get hurt. Well, he should be punished. Not. Can you kind of get what I'm saying about motivation? It's not actually the thing itself is good or bad as much as what were you intending? What were you trying to accomplish? I was trying to help him and the thing slipped and hurt him. That's an accident. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For, now, here's a verse that Brother John D. talked on one time when I was listening to him. And I always listen carefully to him. And you want to listen to John D. carefully because he talks fast sometimes. And the cue will usually be when he says something that you should really be listening to, he kind of gives a little chuckle. I mean, if you want to, you know, relax a little bit and still get what he says. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the application he made for it was a little different to me. And it's helped me a lot. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you look at that, where you put your treasure, there will your heart be also. And it has an effect on other people. Maybe you're having a struggle with somebody. Go over and help them out. Go over and help them out. There's nothing more valuable, really, than our time. I mean, we're only going to have so much time. I'm 82. I've gotten more than my share of it. But you know that time is precious, they say. When somebody can take his time and go over and help somebody, he's really putting his treasure there. And the truth Brother John brought out was, you're having a problem? Go over and minister to that brother in some way. You'll find your heart will go over there. And that was just a quick thing that Brother John taught that I caught. And it works for me. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? I don't know how literally to take that about just the eye. But the eye can get people in trouble, can't it? Looking at things, and you see what's there, you want to look a little bit more, then the mind starts working. And it can be dangerous. If your eye is single on things that is good and light, then the whole body's full of light. But if your eye's dark, your whole body's going to be dark. Have you ever noticed that? You see something and you don't guard yourself. You don't turn the way you should have turned. And your mind starts thinking and making pictures. Or you see someone you know at a magazine rack just looking. Do you think anything's happening in his mind? Probably so. Thy eye being evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I guess mammon generally stands for financial things, but it can be a lot of other things, I think, things that we want, and we just go after them. No man can serve two masters. If we let mammon, whatever your definition of mammon is going to be, if you let that control your actions, it's not going to work out well for you. You cannot serve God and mammon. In the kingdom, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than raiment, and the more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Well, very few of us, I don't think there's probably anybody that doesn't take thought for their life, or thought for their food, or thought for what they shall put on. But I don't think it's wrong, but I believe that what he's talking about is anxious thought and just wanting a certain kind and this and that. And he says it's not about food and clothes. And he's just giving us little warnings. He said, well, that's not a big deal. No, it's not a big deal the way it says here. But if you keep practicing that, you'll find that your love for spiritual things, a love for Christ, even your family, will diminish. But use reasonable care. You don't want to eat a lot of junk. You don't want to wear clothes that aren't to some degree comfortable. But, you know, there's other motives we can use for clothing and food. If you have weight problems, you know that. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Won't he take care of his children? Yeah. But he might not do it the way we prefer. And that's where we get in trouble. We spend more than what we should be spending on those kind of things. More attention. The purpose that we're buying the clothes for sometimes is vanity. There's nothing wrong getting a good work shirt, warm clothes. That's right. That when we mess around with the clothes and we don't want just that color, we want this color, we want stripes, or we this and that, and all these special vanity things. That's just sapping strength away and emotion away from God. We should have our eyes on Him and pleasing Him, and we just want to get certain clothes, and we want the one with the label on it so everybody knows that I spent $150 for sneakers. That kind of stuff, we just get our affections on these things. And it has to go take off from somewhere else. And the Lord just, it's not that you're going to be all wicked and cursing. It just, some of the emotion and strength is taken away from God and putting on this. Driving here and driving there and driving over there trying to find just the right thing. I know this is a kind of a downer type of thing for you, but it's fact. And it's Jesus telling us these facts about His kingdom. And one of the main things about the kingdom of Christ is the king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. And it isn't like England, where they'll have a king or a queen, and they have some things they do, sign papers, but they don't take care of the government. They're virtually powerless. It's all been taken away. And in the church, if we're not careful, if we don't take these things seriously, just these little things we read, if we don't take them seriously, we're just going to be like Queen Elizabeth or whoever is there, queen now, just a figurehead. That's not what the kingdom of God is. There's no figurehead. The main part, the main blessing of the kingdom of Christ is Christ. Always will be. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit? How much is a cubit? 18 inches. Well, we could make it a half inch even. You probably could do it eighth inch, maybe to a half inch. If you lay down, there's been people that go to the police department, you know, and you have to be a certain height. And if it's like only just an eighth of an inch or a quarter, you can set an appointment up to come back in and be measured, and you just lay out for maybe 10, 12 hours. And I don't know how you get there without compressing them again, but they say that you actually can measure another eighth inch or quarter inch. But that's still pretty far from the cubit, isn't it? Okay. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Nobody. Nobody can do that. Then he says, and why take ye thought for raiment? There he's back again with talking about this. He says, you can't add one cubit to your stature. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. A king. It couldn't be as beautiful as a lily. Now, right now, I've noticed people sitting here, that's crazy. What do you mean? I get clothes that look a lot better than a lily. Well, if you would open your eyes to really what a lily is and think about it, that God made that to come up and blossom and bless us, think of it. So why do you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Well, I'll tell you. And here's verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Well, we do need to think ahead. But we need to think way ahead. Very far ahead. Because it might not be as far as you think. You know, with this many people, we're going to be driving. I think my wife and three daughters want to come up. Roads are slippery. One could go out of here very quickly, couldn't they? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But he knows you have need for all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, these meetings have been just powerful. Very good. And and it's been a blessing to be here. I hope you all were blessed. Have you made any decisions? Have you caught anything that applies to your life? If you have, when's it going to come in force? I know I've got some things. I hope my family can come up tomorrow. I want to sit. I'm sorry, brethren. I've got to get quiet and consider a lot of things. Yeah, don't let some of the things you heard and that hit your hearts fall to the ground. Don't give them too much time before you get them working. Because a lot of times,
yeah,
those things that were truth, that you understood, and you understand what area, get it done. Don't waste meetings like this. My, what a privilege we have. Just thinking of the two men that went up into the temple to pray, the Pharisee and this one other boy that went in, And the Pharisee had an excellent prayer. I mean, he would, you know, just telling the Lord that he's so happy he's not like other men. And even like this publican here was thumping on his breast and crying out to God for mercy. And he said he's glad he's not like him. And then they left. And they both got what they asked for. The poor man was thumping on his breast saying, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And he went home justified. The other man justified himself. He didn't ask for anything. He was just happy that he was better than everybody else around. And he left. He got what he wanted. So, when you pray today, what are you going to pray for? Mercy. Oh, God. Help me straighten out. Help me to handle this thing. Help me to take those truths, Lord, and to use them. To think them over. Pray about them. Take a good hard look with the eye to do something. I'd like to just, let's turn to Acts 24 with me. Acts 24 verse 27, I think. Yeah. Paul was arrested, and in verse 22 it says, he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. That was very nice of them to do. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, I guess it is, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee." Well, he did call for him many times. But the problem was, he was hoping he'd get money. Now, here's one of the things that stops people, I believe, from being in the kingdom of God. He says, "I will call for thee." The next verse starts out, "He hoped also." In other words, he wanted to talk again, but he hoped also. When you are thinking about Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and coming into the kingdom, being born again, and you hope also, better be very careful what that also is. In his case, it was money. You get nothing. We take all these things from the meeting, and we really want those things in our life. I really want to be stronger in Christ Jesus, and I want to be able to this and that. But then we hope also that will be important. Well, we hope also that people will notice and think highly of me. That's where he fell, I believe. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the more oftener and communed with him. But he probably wasn't communing about anything very important. Spiritually, that is. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room to replace him. Willing to show the Jews a pleasure, he left Paul bound. But do you see that he trembled? I trembled today too. But if I don't do anything about it, what good will that be? If I don't learn something from it, if I'm not willing to face embarrassment or whatever, is it going to profit? No. So let your eye be single, that what we want to do is we want to be walking with our Lord. We want to be in the kingdom. We want to be about the kingdom's business and not hope also for something else. Get your eye single. Yeah, brother, I hope you'll excuse me for, I just still want to just cry. But it's a very funny sensation because I feel encouraged. I think I see things. I think I've got some answers. God bless you all and your families that you represent. Get hold. Get hold and don't take your eyes off it till you get it. I don't know how I can say this, but I love you. And just praise the Lord that he was merciful to me and called me. And I'm glad that he got me to, in a group like this. He's good. Give him a chance. As you read your Bible, as you meditate, you'll know what he wants. Don't hope for something else. Get what he has for you. And you'll be blessed. And your family will be blessed. God bless you all.